Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back today with my friend Brooke Wayne, and we're talking about parenting this week. And today we're going to talk about sibling relationships, which I know we've talked lots about on this podcast, but it is a constant battle, at least in our home it is. With each guest that I have on who talks about sibling relationships, I can glean a bit of wisdom from each of them. And I feel like I can always find these nuggets of truth and help that will kind of help us in our home. But it just seems like it continues on and on and on and on and on because, you know, our girls, they're very different. As if you have kids more than one, they're probably very different as well. My girls could not be more opposite than they are, but, you know, they love each other at the same time. So they get along sometimes really, really, really well. And then other times I'm just like, oh my goodness, you guys, this is ridiculous. Stop fighting with each other. And so, yeah, it teaches us lots of patience and lots of opportunities for us to practice not being angry, as we have talked about this week. So today we're going to really park on sibling relationships and how we can handle that in our homes. But before we do, I want to say thank you again to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. If you're looking for a fantastic biblical worldview curriculum for your kids, try them out. BJUPressHomeschool.com. They encourage critical thinking. You can do video-based learning. You can do parent-led learning. They have so many different options. And so the best thing really, if you are not sure what you need or what you want for your homeschool, call them up and talk to one of their consultants and they will help walk you through what is best for your child. And so they've got every grade, every subject, whatever your needs are, they've got something for you. So check them out, bjupresshomeschool.com. Well, Brooke, welcome back to the podcast. I am so thankful to have you with me this week. Let's talk about sibling relationships. You know, I know that with my girls, there's kind of like the two different ways that we can respond to conflict with our children, right? You can just ignore it and walk away, which I have done. I am absolutely guilty of doing that sometimes. And I shouldn't say guilty of that. Sometimes my girls are older now. So sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to let them work it out because I know that they can. And they always end up working it out. So there's that. But then there's also where we need to step in and we need to help them know how to handle this conflict on their own. And so talk about with you with 11 kids, I'm certain you have lots of sibling conflict in your home. How do you typically deal with that with your children? How do you teach them to learn to love one another and to get along with one another?
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much for the opportunity to talk on this. This has become one of my like heart topics of the year. And I've been just talking about it everywhere I go with moms and homeschool conventions and that kind of thing, because it's so helpful and it's such a big part of our homeschool world. When we're all together every day, yep. It's just going to bring about conflict. And so I've been just really investing in that. And I do find, just for reference, that a lot of times conflict happens when there's two siblings next to each other in age that are same gender. So boy and boy or girl and girl. I think there's a little bit more of a little something there that they get at each other more often. So yeah, let's talk about that aspect though of when do we get involved and when do we let it be? I think there's got to be some caveat there with age. And so first let's talk about the younger ages. I really find that this proverb that speaks to us in 29:15, where it says a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. I find that like comes up in my mind a lot with my younger ones as I see the sibling squabbling thing happen. And when I am considering how important it is for these children to learn conflict resolution, how much that's going to do for them in their future marriages, mm-hmm. as future parents to our precious grandchildren unborn, to our to their ability to hold a job and to work well with others, to employ others if that's their situation, to being the future church. And I look at all of those relationships that need conflict resolution. I go, this is important. It feels so draining. It feels so every day. It feels so inconvenient to us as parents. And yet we need to really kind of take our minds off and go, you know what? This is important. And I know this is going to be really hard to swallow. And I find it hard to swallow. But sometimes I'll say to myself, I need to be thankful for this conflict happening in my home. Mm. And here's why. It's an opportunity. And I am here And I'm the mom, and so I go, whoa, you know, I don't even know what to do about it sometimes. But God has me here for a reason, for my children's sake, especially with that younger set, realizing I have an investment for all of those future relationships to help them walk through this. So for my younger set, I'm going to say 12 and under, 14 and under, somewhere in that range, that I do tend to get very involved and be there to help them walk through that. Because they don't know. Their tendency is to act selfishly, to want, well, that's my toy, and he took it, and, you know, I hit him because he took my toy, or he hit me first, and all those little squabbles that were just like, I don't even know. And sometimes we were like, I don't even want to know. I just want to go forward and do something productive. But those little things are not unessential. We need to get there and talk with them and come in as Galatians 6:1 talks about, where if you catch someone in sin, if you catch a brother or sister who is caught in sin, you who are wise and who are full of spirit should come and gently teach them and gently instruct them in the right way. And so that's where I go, yeah, they really need that conversation at the time. For the older ones, you know, as far as like, when do I maybe let them deal with it on their own? When they have some proficiency at conflict resolution, when they can learn to control themselves with volume, with, you know, not making these ad hominem accusations, but really being able to talk about the content. In those situations, sometimes I'll go, you know, we're not always there with our older ones every single minute. Maybe we get to that point where we actually can go to the grocery store and we hear about something later or whatever. So sometimes those kinds of things, as an influencer with my older children, I can send an email or maybe even tag them. But it always needs to be done with our children, our older children, in a way that encourages them towards it. Because if we're just every minute like, no, 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 and we're just nagging at something, we need to just step that back a little bit and say, you know, I heard about the conflict that happened while I was gone the other day, and I want to encourage you just to always remember, love your brother more than yourself. You know, whatever is going to come up, whatever the need there is, but just being an encourager in that situation. If there is a need to like delve into a whole family council on the sibling squabbling you missed, sometimes just being able to hear both sides, making sure you're hearing both sides, giving equal platform to each child is helpful there too.
How, let's park there for just a second, because as you give them equal platform, I know in our home, they always have a different story. One child says one thing, the other child says, that's not what happened. This is how it happened. And it's always difficult for me because I'm like, you know, I believe you both, but you both have different stories. And it's just that they have different perspectives. Like, I think they really, truly believe most of the time, I think they really, truly believe that their rendition of the story is the right one. And maybe they've just exaggerated in their minds how they were treated or how they were spoken to or the look that was given or whatever. How do you deal with that when you've got two completely different stories of what actually happened? How do you resolve that? I always find that to be a difficult thing.
Oh, and there's no silver bullet. So that's the hard part, right? There's just no one size fits all answer.
Right.
You know, we've had some situations where we've just been like, we don't know what happened here. Mm-hmm. And so we'll have a family time out loud and we will pray that the Lord will bring some resolution here, and that whoever is guilty will feel deep conviction and will come back. And it has happened. Sure. You know, it's not always like in our time frame and stuff, but it has happened that they will feel that conviction and fess up to whatever the situation was. Right. I'm talking about lighter issues, not a huge bloody draw out or something.
Right, right.
You know, but like if there's that sort of situation, you know, there might be, if there's like, it's just go into a deep thing, but say maybe abuse, that needs to be sorted out and delved out until the truth is found.
Sure.
But on some of these lighter, everyday sort of sibling squabblings, there are times where we just say, you know, the truth needs to come out. Whoever has done this wrong or yelled or whatever has happened, that needs to come to light, and we'll pray for conviction to fall on that child.
Right.
So that's one way. Another way is we'll sometimes have to shelf a topic and say, we're going to come back to this in a couple days, because we have spoken about this for too long, and this is not going to not this is not bearing any results. But we might give our children some kind of assignment that they need to follow through, either reading a chapter of a book about conflict resolution, or maybe looking into, you you know, having a project that the two of them need to build something together, to do something together. So those things can go a long ways in like, what do I do with this situation? There's no resolution. Another thing would be just to say, okay, both of you have spoken these different different viewpoints, and could you write them down so that I can see a bullet list, not with a whole saga in the story, because we've had a couple kids that they want to tell you the story and it starts sounding like a movie and you're just like, 3 hours later, I still don't know what actually happened or what you think even happened. Right. So getting in like a bullet list that I can compare, that can sometimes go a long ways and even help them go, well, I guess what happened first, you know, and I guess what happened here. I also ask questions and, you know, maybe I'm a little redundant with my questions to them. I'll be like, okay, so this is where you're saying the story happened. Was there anything before this?
Right.
You know, because sometimes they'll leave out that convenience part where they snuck their brother's book out and tore a page or whatever the situation is. So asking those questions just to bring some clarity helps a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is no silver bullet, unfortunately. I feel like as parents, you know, I hope our kids don't listen, right? But there, we might miss some things, and that is hard. But if by and large, we're making an equally big point compared to the situation about those squabbles, and we're always breathing in a lot of proactive time where we're saying, here's how people can get along. You know, you may not be aware, but one of the issues with marriage is that people squabble about finances. Yeah, even adults, isn't that terrible? And, you know, let's talk about that and then like bring it down in those quiet, happier moments when there's not a big issue happening. Bring it down and say, well, how could you get along with your brother or sister? Like, what if you borrowed money? When would it be good to give it back? All those kinds of things so that we're breathing lots of life on the teaching side.
Sure.
How to handle the conflict. And then when it comes up, addressing it, making it a deal as big as is needed for each situation, but then not dismissing it, not just looking over it.
Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com. We are back with Brooke. I love practical ways to help kids. And I've learned through the years different practical ways from different people. And one of the things I used to do with my girls when they were younger, I don't have to do this with them so much anymore, of course, but when, you know, if one of them would hit, I had one who was a hitter when she was really little. And so from the time she was tiny, I would say, you know, to her, what did God make your hands for? Mm-hmm. And I taught her to say, he made my hands for loving or helping others and loving him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things like that, you know, what did God make your voice for worshiping him and for encouraging others and all the things that they're using in their body to hurt someone else, reminding them like God made your voice. He made your hands. He made your feet. He made everything for his glory, not for hurting someone else or not to get your way. And so teaching them those things, but you talked a little bit about practical training. And I think that's such an important thing is teaching our kids because we assume, I think so often when we have young kids, especially that they know the right thing to do. And so you talked about how when you're, you know, in those earlier years, those younger kids, of actually teaching them, it's putting on righteousness, right? It's teaching them specifically, here's how you respond. here's how you need to react to your brother or to your sister if they hit you, and say these words. We have to give them the actual words to say. We have to give them the actual motions to do, and not just expect that they already instinctively know how to do that, because they instinctively know how to sin. Yes. They don't always instinctively know the right thing to do. Sometimes they do, but we have to teach them how to do those things. And so I think that's so wise to actually teach our kids, like, here's the right way to respond to your sibling when they hurt you or when you've hurt them. So are you, as a parent, you've had many years of parenting, do you think that there are some things that we do as parents that contribute towards our kids' animosity towards one another? And I feel like I've done that sometimes on occasion. Do you see that as something that parents unintentionally do that cause frustration with their own kids?
I think so. And, you know, this is an area where it's so easy to live in the moment and just take it all blow by blow and go, oh, I was trying to accomplish this, or even a school lesson, you know, I was trying to accomplish this, and then they started squabbling, and now my day is ruined, and I just have to respond to this. And so we find ourselves in this kind of chaotic day of just responding to all of the emergencies that seem so urgent, urgent. Some of them are important, but it's hard to really evaluate. And so I really encourage families to spend some time evaluating, are there ways that we're not making sure that our children have everything they need so that they feel a peace and a love. For one thing, favoritism. I think favoritism is huge for creating conflict. For creating conflict among siblings.
Sure.
And of course, I think the Bible speaks pretty clearly to how that's such a bad idea. You see in the Jacob Esau story, just the devastation that happened and the pain that happened from that favoritism their parents showed them. So that's a big one. Another one that's kind of close, but maybe we wouldn't see it as the same, is sometimes we'll have children that excel in something that's very pleasing to a parent. So out of my 11 that I know of so far, right, I have two that are neat freaks. And they make their beds every day. They comb their hair every day without being told. You know, I used to laugh. They were born just perfectly dressed, and their room is perfectly tidy and everything. And I was just like, ah, you know, that's refreshing. And, you know, it's really actually nothing to do with me, because that's just who they are.
Yeah.
And then there's the ones that are not, right? The ones that are just born more normal and who leave everything wherever they found it and left their toys out and everything. And when we overly praise the two that have that nice tendency and so forth, it can come across as like a bit of a favoritism. I'm not saying never to say anything. I mean, I have this wonderful 16-year-old right now who just cleans things, like goes around and cleans the house. I mean, how wonderful is that? She cleans the house and she cooks dinner and all kinds of stuff like that. And it's like, I really appreciate it. She needs to know I appreciate that. So I tell her in front of the family, but if I'm really going to go overdose and say, wow, that really meant a lot to me because I had all this on my plate and I just needed that help this week. Thank you.
Yeah.
Here's even a gift for that, you know, for doing that.
Sure.
I will do that in private, because it doesn't mean I devalue the one who is younger, who tried really hard to sweep the floor as best they could because that's their daily chore, but maybe left the corners untouched, you know, those kinds of things.
Right.
So over complimenting one child, I think, is another thing. And so then on the flash side is critiquing a child. Sometimes it's very easy because we're in the midst of a lot going on to say to a certain child, you know, no, you need to stop. You're doing this wrong. And we start into this launch of telling them how they're doing something wrong. I'm not saying that we should never draw that side of the child aside and say, I need to talk to you about something. But it shouldn't be done necessarily, at least overly much, where all the other siblings are like, oh yeah, he's got a problem. And, you know, mom's always on his case about X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
So that's an area I feel like is pretty important for us as far as not having conflict happen so readily with our children. Also just being there with them. You know, this is an interesting thing. Remember I said in Proverbs 29:15, a child left to himself. I will tell you, when I am so busy and I am having multiple errands, multiple things that I'm away from my children, I am less attuned to the tensions that are happening with them. Mm-hmm. That often all that can come out and explode, maybe even when I'm back home, but it explodes in a bigger way. And I'm like, well, where did that come from? I'll tell you what, if I tell myself, if there's one thing I could do, just being with my children is a great place to start. And when you're with them, you start noticing things and you start feeling those tensions that might be happening. You start going, how do I respond to this? You start having prayers that are going through your day because you're there. You're in the thick of it.
Yeah.
And I know we're all homeschooling moms, but I also know that pool to be involved in so many other things, so many other good things. And where that lies for each person is a little bit different. Each family is going to have a different capacity than other families. So I've just found as much as possible in this process to be with my children, to go through those motions every day with them, to see all of the relationships that are happening. And it gives me a little leave then to be able to speak quicker influence if something comes up in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. It is such a privilege and an honor to be with our kids. It is a lot of work to be with them every single day. But it provides us an opportunity to really train their hearts that we wouldn't otherwise have. Because even if they were on the school playground, they're still going to have conflict with other people. And all a teacher is going to do is say, stop fighting, you know, but they're not going to stop what they're doing and work to train the heart of your individual child in the way that they need it. And so it is such a big part of being a homeschool family is that we have opportunities every single day to help train our kids on how to get along with one another. And like you said, I could not agree more. If we can teach our kids to get along with one another and to love each other, even those who are difficult to get along with, when they go into their marriages and go into their parenting journey and go into the workplace, they are going to be so much better equipped to be able to deal with conflict. And I think that marriages would last longer. I think that marriages would stay together if a lot more people had learned how to deal with conflict as children, but we simply don't know how to do that. And so too many people just say, you know what, I'm done. I don't want to deal with this anymore. Right. And they walk away from it. And that's really unfortunate, I think. We're about out of time, but I just want to ask one more thing. I know you've talked before about casting a vision for your family, for sibling unity. Talk about that just a little bit. And what are some ways that you've found to have been helpful in really kind of casting that vision for your family?
Sure. So my husband's family has had a deep, long interest in quartet singing. I will tell you, I am not necessarily quartet singing myself. They don't do it, just, you know, enjoy it.
Okay. I was I did not know Israel could sing like that.
they're actually pretty good singers, but
really?
Anyhow, we've noticed that there's a lot of times families that will sing together. And it's, as I understand it, families tend to have a better harmony because they use the same inflections and pronounce the words the same way and all that kind of stuff. And so that's just a very practical sort of thing. As we can pick up any sort of thing in our lives that we see, like, you know, the reason they sing so well together is this is a family and this is something they have special to them. This is like a harmony, a tight closeness, just in the way they pronounce their words and voice them and all that, that they are able to use in a way that speaks to other people. And they work together, or like family businesses. I think it was the Spangler brothers started the candy cane company years and years and years ago. And we'll talk about, look, if these brothers, they were able to have some synergy there that probably two other people wouldn't. And the fact is, when you grow up with someone and you work through all those issues as children, how to share, how to give, how to be concerned about others, how to say no, you know, all these things, those go such a long ways in helping people have a longer lasting ability to work together as adults. And so we'll try to point out stuff like that, that, you know, it's like there's a real value for you two learning how to get along now. And it can look like this profitable business. It can look like serving together in a ministry, singing. It can look together like writing a book together. It can look like a lot of different things. One of the areas we had a major house renovation last year. And what happened is we hired one individual to come do the stuff that we couldn't. We tried to do as much as we could, but he came. And as he came, he then had some of his brothers. He had four brothers, and his father would often come too. They would come and work together as a team, all in different kind of compartments related to house reconstruction. So one was worked in the plumbing, and one electrical, one in, you know, the constructions and stuff like that. So we were looking at this, you know, as adults, these four men were able to work together, and just the camaraderie they had together spoke so much to my children. And it was interesting, one day the dad was mentioning, he was a pastor, he's mentioning how his boys had left, and they're just fun wrestling. They had left a spot in the drywall years ago that they had dented in. And I was like, oh my, you know, I would never have guessed that they ever squabbled, just because, you know, 30 years later or whatever, they got along. And so just we find those things in our lives, and we say to our children, this is what it can look like.
Yeah.
You know, work those things out now, because you can have some really sweet fellowship with your siblings later on. And I think for our children too, you know, my husband and I both have good tight relationships with our siblings, and they see that, and they see the stuff. And sometimes we'll tell those stories of like, yeah, well, there was the time I did this to my brother and I regret it now, but you know, they see those things. It's helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think on the other side of that too, is building really good, strong memories with each other as siblings is so much fun. You know, for our girls, one of the biggest things, of course, has been traveling. I mean, we have traveled a lot together as a family. And so we've taken countless road trips. We've been to over 30 states. We've done a whole lot together as a family. And so they have memories together that, you know, and even in the midst of those memories, there was conflict. You know, sometimes it's really hard when you're staying in a hotel for the sixth night in a row and you got to figure out who's going to sleep where and, you know, who's using the bathroom next and the shower next. Like, that can be really difficult. But at the same time, they have so many great memories together, or reading books together. We still read books together as a family, you know, sometimes as a whole family, but mostly usually just the girls and I. And so we have these memories of reading these books together, and we can share that experience together. And so that also, I think, bonds siblings together. So you've got good memories as well. And so, yeah, so much good stuff. Well, we are out of time. I wish that we had lots more time to talk about this, because I know we could talk a whole lot more on these topics. But thank you again. And again, Brooke has this book that she has written with her husband. It's called Pitchin' a Fit, Overcoming Angry and Stressed Out Parenting. We will put a link to this in the show notes. Brooke, tell our listeners one more time where they can find out more about you and your ministry.
Yes. Yes, please visit us at familyrenewal.org. It's familyrenewal.org. Or you can also look up our speaker site, which is israelwayne.com. And we'd love to have you visit. We have our store on there if you would like to purchase some of our books.
Okay. We'll put those links in the show notes. So stay tuned to the very end for a clip of what's coming up next week on the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. And remember, you can find all things at our website, schoolhouserocked.com. You can stream the movie for free. You can download our homeschool survival kit. You can make a donation to support the ministry, or you can subscribe to our newsletter. It's all there, schoolhouserocked.com. Have a great rest of your week, and we will see you back here on Monday. Bye. As parents, our greatest hope is that our kids will grow up to be followers of Jesus Christ and live out God's call on their lives. But you also know the world makes it challenging to follow Christ faithfully. That's why I'm so excited about Summit Ministries. Their student conferences give teens and young adults reasons to trust the biblical foundation you've laid for them. Our oldest daughter, Brooklyn, is super excited to go this summer. And if you have a child ages 16 to 22, they can attend a Summit Ministries student conference this summer as well. Get a $200 discount on their in-person conference by using code SCHOOLHOUSE24 at checkout, and receive an additional $200 off with their early bird discount when you register by March 31st. Visit summit.org/schoolhouse to learn more. That's summit.org/schoolhouse.
We look at the sciences, and we don't say, here's Christianity and over there is the science. They have nothing to do with each other. What we say is, we're Christians in the world of science. What's right and what's wrong? What agrees with the gospel and what is contrary to it? What is true and what is false? And what's true we embrace. And in a similar way, the first century of the church, the so-called church fathers and the apostles were looking at the world around them, and they were saying, what's true and what do we have to reject? There's a really significant change that takes place in Western thought in the 15th and 16th century. And that is that until then, the educated Westerner believed that he lived in a cosmos. And that means that a cosmos is the word literally means ornament. So when you think there's cosmos, there's cosmology and cosmetics. You think that seems weird. Why are there cosmetics and cosmology? Cosmetics is actually closer to the original word. In other words, cosmos has to do with beauty. That there is a principle that makes all things stay together in harmony. Whatever that principle is, makes the world a beautiful place. Now, Christians believe that principle is Christ, that it's the Logos.